Blog Talk Radio.
Shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports
Index. And if I may say that the sports In-depth Nation is here. The Sports In-depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
We will. How badly we miss you, Rooney. It's the 4th of July. And it's 241 years ago. You know what? That's not a long time ago. I thought about that today. 241 years ago. That's not a long time ago. God has blessed America. He's blessed the world. That's not a long time ago. 241 years ago. 13 counties say, hey, baby, that's it. We over here, you over there. Hey, we'll handle this. Birthdays today. One of the three greatest trumpet players of all time, the idol of Miles Davis, Louis Armstrong, the boss. Warned the body Cleveland Indians, but the greatest baseball franchise in baseball is the Yankees, George of the Voice Steinbrenner, and the Yankees win the Yankees with my good buddy John Sterling. I remember when Sterling was producer on a show, WMCA, and my alumni from NYSAS, New York School of Nonsense. He had a great voice, too, Sid Gatling Jr. I remember we was in the car, had a Volkswagen. Back in the day, $2 was a whole lot of gas, man. And we're driving. Now, we were going somewhere. We were always going everywhere, man. Sid was so aware of what was going on, you know. Had the great radio voice, dressed like GQ. Always his drink was beef eaters and gin. Beef eaters and tonic was gin. And he said to me, he says, no, we got to get out to Net, you know. They got the doctor. Man. Boy, what an understatement. Greatest player I ever saw all around Oscar. Greatest player, exciting wise, Julius. Whoever knew that then, that statement that wound up being close friends. Very close. At one time, my parents, my children's godparents, Turquoise, named after her godmother, Turquoise. And I was going to name Lou Mel after Julius, but wife said Lou Mel. Elvin, but Lou Mel still named because the nickname Little Mel was from Turquoise, godmother. She named Lou Mel. Yeah. The Nationals continue to dominate the Mets. And Mr. Murphy, who they traded, he has 34 RBIs in 31 games. So we're going to do open up with prayer, and then we're going to do the national anthem today, too. My trenches, you know, forth, and we're going to pray afterwards. A question. By this time, as a youth, me and my sister and brother would be down in Virginia with our late grandfather, Bishop Paul M. Howard. Little did we know that that was the yearly family reunion. It's been started again over the last decade now. Marvin Gaye, the national anthem. Then we will pray. A few things to say on this Independence Day, 4th of July. In Brazil, Independence Day is September 7th. 2 days for Lou Mel's birthday, and right on Gloria Gaynor's birthday. Marvin Gaye, come on in, May. The last anthem here. Independence Day.
Now, along with the United States Marine Color Guard to sing the national anthem, famed recording artist Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye, and we're going to have a long show here because I know you people are barbecuing and stuff like that, but we're going to do something here, big controversy on the fight, a lot of angles. Some people said he was robbed, Howard said the fight was too close.
So I have some music playing here. Let me see now.
Okay, good. One of my favorite pieces, Hairy Man. Real quickly, I get these things, if you drink Snapple, they have these caps, and they have a lot of information on the caps, and there's been a couple of things there. One was that kangaroos can't walk backwards. Penguins are the only birds that can swim but can't fly. Yeah. Illinois was originally named after Ben Franklin. Yeah. A fly. And how many here? It's in the chord of B minor. Wow. Dr. Teddy, supporting the Block Talk Radio, Trust and Garvey Network. Don't have a long show today, but to get something here real quickly, we're going to move into, as we do, our prayer section. And then me and Dusty are going to talk a little bit about this big fight that everybody talked about. But some people said Pacquiao was robbed. Some people said Pacquiao put it on himself. Hey, you have your say. But before we do anything, let's get on the knees. Let's give some honor and homage to the one and only true God. Let's pray today on Independence Day, as we should each and every day, thanking the one and only true master. Dr. Sandy, supporting the Block Talk Radio, the Trust and Cover Network. John Coltrane, lead us in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. We thank you, Lord, for last night's getting up and last night's laying down, this morning's getting up. We thank you for food on our table, clothes on our backs, shoes on our feet. We thank you for being in America. With its imperfections and injections of injustice, but we're here. We'd rather be here than someplace else. We'd rather be here where we can have a voice of opinion. We thank you for making us Americans. You know, myself, truly Native American, African American, but more importantly, Lord, that's our family, that's our friends. That's the veterans. Guys who fought in the wars, the freedom of others, because freedom ain't free. Some people pay the ultimate price. But the Lord, give us so much not what we want, but what we need. In the name of Jesus, amen. Manny Pacquiao loses his title in Australia. Everybody says, hey, maybe it was Pacquiao. So Dusty, you know, spoke to June. Yeah. And June said, you know, Doc, Pacquiao had him in the ninth round and let him get away. Harold Weston said, you know, the fight was close. And, you know, you go in another guy's country. June said, yeah, here's a guy that's a teacher, 14 fights. I mean, you know, what happened, Dusty? Pacquiao wasn't prepared. I mean, you know, what happened, Dusty?
Doc, you know, it's not that Pacquiao wasn't prepared. Pacquiao, there's a saying that goes that the mind controls the body. But if the body cannot respond to what the mind is telling you, you're finished. And Pacquiao has gone to the well too often, like Bernard Hopkins went with Joe Smith.
Wow,
I mean,
Dusty.
Athlete.
Wow.
These
my
guys
goodness.
Are
I mean,
athletes.
Dusty, wow. The validation and wow, Dusty.
Yeah. It's a,
hey,
these
you know,
guys
at this
going
point,
to the world too often thinking in the times when they were in their primes and they can wipe out anybody. This guy, Horn, would not survive a Spence, Danny Garcia, Thurman, much less Sean Porter. You know, in fact, Timothy Bradley, who was commenting that night, will beat him easily. Even a Kelvin.
But you know what? You know what? And GW Mike said something too. He said, you know what? If you're going to go out, let's pass the torch. Let's fight a Timothy Bradley. Let's fight a Spence. Let's fight a Crawford. Let's pass the torch to somebody that can carry the torch, somebody that's earned it, and somebody that you know, there's no honor in going down against a guy like that.
Right. Yeah, but you see, Doc, it was a money deal. 55,000 people to see this hometown kid, 16-year-old with 11 knockouts.
Okay.
And then
no
you have the deal, which is unprecedented.
Because I'm off the air. I didn't put enough time on. I needed you to call me like about 10 minutes ago, because once we go into the podcast area, you can't call in.
And you have this something unprecedented.
No problem, because I should have put more time on it then. Yeah, I really wanted more time. You can try, but I doubt you're going to be able to get in here. Well, give it a call. Give it a call. Give it a try.
Thanks. Yeah, Doc. So then you have this unprecedented. This was a money fight, period. 55,000 people. Okay? And then unprecedented, Pacquiao has signed a rematch. So can we suspect that this was a lend-lease? A lend-lease or the guy can have a little success?
Well, you know, it's remarkable. Ladies and gentlemen, I said this, and I say this redundantly. I say this all the time. I say this with conviction. I say this with proud. And I say this with validation. You cannot top my crew. Now, where else did you hear this? Where else have you heard that this was a double? Has anybody heard this? Dutchie told you that it was a contract that had two fights.
Right.
And, as Marion Borker says, it actually is no longer remarkable to me, the things that are done by my Sports and Death family. And you know, Dusty, you're talking about also not being able to do physically what the mind wants to do, but psychologically say, hey, man, what the hell? I'll get him tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, because I already got a signed contract. It reminds me, the title of your show is Sports in Depth, so let's get in depth with this damn thing here. To the roots, was it the same way when Pacquiao fought Timothy Bradley the first time? And he killed Bradley, and Bradley got the fight. Now, but there was a return bout clause there, okay? Bob Arum did not lose anything because Tim Bradley had a fight signed, a two-year contract with Top Rank to be able to fight Pacquiao in the first place. So anybody who wants to fight Bob Arum's boys got to sign a two-year contract. So he
and owns Dusty, you know what's remarkable, Dusty? Dusty, he's not doing none of the fighting.
Exactly. He's not doing none of the fighting. He's breaking his back, wheelbarrowing all the money to the bank. And the thing is that the seriousness, the sadness of the fact of the matter is that Pacquiao is fooling himself. He's become a name on a resume of these young dudes. Oh, I beat Manny Pacquiao.
Wow, Dusty. Tremendous point. Tremendous point.
And a resume. It's a sad thing.
Something that the young gunslinger can hang his hat. Hey man, you know
exactly. I beat Pacquiao.
I shot Manny Pacquiao.
You know, right. In fact, I even took his title from him. You know, and this is what if you look at Pacquiao, you see that he was gun shy, unsure. He wasn't as sharp. His body punches were
why, Dusty? Why?
Without a
why? Is, I mean, is it age factor? Is
age
he really?
Factor, he's sharp worn, man. He's sharp worn. He's going. I tell you, he's going by memory, but the body is not responding.
It's not going to do at 33 what you did at 23, and you're not able to say, you know what, later for my mind, and the body can just supersede and do what the mind won't do. But you're right, the age factor, Dusty, especially in a guy, Dusty, Dr. Danny Sporting, the Block Talk Radio, and the Trusted Guard, and we're happy 4th of July. Happy birthday to John Sterling, the Yankees win, remembering. Louis Armstrong, who was born this day, along with the boss, George Sherman.
Here's a dude who threw combinations from the left side, from the right side. He came at you frontally and always connected. We got to remember the beatings he gave Chris Algieri, the beatings he gave Bam Bam Rios, the knockouts of Ricky Hatton, Oscar De La Hoya, Miguel Cotto. I mean, for God's sake,
the apprehension of Floyd Mayweather not fighting him 2 or 3 years sooner.
And the apprehension, Floyd didn't want to fight him. He was forced to. But then again, Pacquiao came in as a one-armed bandit, but that's another story. What I'm saying of this past Saturday, I mean, you saw a Pacquiao who was a shell of the Pacquiao that I'm used to. And I saw it from the very first round. And here he was rope-a-dopey like Ali, and this kid was hitting him with uppercuts, clean, straight up. I counted at least four or five straight uppercuts as Pacquiao was rope-a-doping. This kid hit him with some straight right hands that no other opponent would hit Pacquiao. That's what made Pacquiao look bad, and because he couldn't pull the trigger. Now, everybody talks about, oh, that ninth round, he could have knocked him out. Pacquiao could not knock out a bird that night. He was exhausted. He was missing
Dusty, if he could have knocked him out, he would have knocked him out.
he couldn't knock him out. Yeah, he hit him, but his punches were not as vicious or hard as in the previous fights, one. Number two, I said to myself, well, maybe by the 10th round, which is the next round, he go out and finish this kid. Pacquiao was exhausted. He was grabbing. He was holding. He was rope-a-doping. This kid said, not in my backyard. So he slapped him. He slapped him. He rushed him. And then you got to understand, too, this is why I hate, with a purple passion, this weigh-in the day before the fight.
Dusty is killing guys, and you know, to me, it doesn't show. You know, probably love the IBF with Eddie Cotton, because you're weighing the same day. And what I'm saying, you get these mismatches. And you know, but what's even more ridiculous, Dusty, is these guys have a strength coach, they have a stretch coach,
they have
a nutrition coach, and they have a trainer, and they still come in 4 or 5 pounds overweight.
Right. And the thing is that this kid was having trouble making weight. Boom. He made the weight at the weigh-in. But with fight night, the guy was already physically taller than Pacquiao, had longer reach than Pacquiao. But to me, he looked like a light heavyweight. So here Pacquiao, his bony self, all 5'1". He looked like Goliath against David, and David lost his fight because of the fact that this kid was able to capitalize on a lot of his butt, and then those headbutts. My God, those headbutts were horrific. The referee did not do much on correcting this guy's headbutts, one. Number two, Waleska Roldan, one of the judges from New York or Las Vegas, gave this kid 117-111. What fight was she watching? And that's the amazing thing about this thing. But I blame Pacquiao. I say, Pacquiao, you gave this, you blew it. You blew it because you're not the Pacquiao before. He went on memory. He tried. If anything else, you got to give him A for effort. But he just didn't have it anymore. Okay? And this kid just took advantage, of course, being his hometown, the hero. But the little junk that he had was enough to stifle a sharp one Pacquiao. This is how I saw it. And I was not surprised when they said, and the new, I was hoping that Pacquiao, who I felt won the fight, would get a break. But no, that's the same thing. This is deja vu all over again when he beat Timothy Bradley and the new champ, Timothy Bradley. That's the same thing. This is deja vu all over again. Watch both films. The same thing all over again. But the fact of the matter is that Pacquiao is not the same anymore. And a young stud like that, which would not survive a Timothy Bradley, is going to beat him. But the fact of the matter is, like I told you, there is a business. There is a business, and there's a return bout contract. So, you know, what's he going to do now? I don't know. Go back to the Senate and stay in politics and do what the heck he has to do. But that's the whole thing, Doc. Yeah, so do I have compassion? Sure, I feel sorry. I was in some rounds when I saw Pacquiao hit the kid. I was saying, go ahead, Pac, finish up your combos. Well, he was a one shot in 10 shots. He missed many shots. This kid was slapping him all over the place, pushing him, weighing him down, butting him. And he managed to get a lot of clean. People don't see that. This kid managed to get a lot of cleaner punches on him, registered, than Pacquiao was able to get on him. And the only reason he got to him in the ninth round because this dude was getting tired. But even then, Pacquiao could not capitalize on the dude being tired. I remember when he fought Antonio Margarito Pacquiao. My God, Margarito was 14 pounds over and taller than this dude. Pacquiao destroyed him. Pacquiao in the seventh round hit oh my God, either with a straight left cross to the gut, almost cut him in half. Margarito almost went down. He was so hurt. Those punches were missing, missing without a trace. So that should tell
now,
you.
Now, no question, it's age. It's age.
It's age. It's his world. He's sharp world. You know, he's had about 70 fights already. Okay, he's been knocked out, okay, once by Marquez, which was an ugly knockout. But he's been hit. He's been hit. He's been hurt. He's been injured, you know. I mean, there's a lot of wars. And, you know, Pacquiao is not a boxer. Pacquiao is a destroyer. So he's out there giving you three while he takes five. You know, and that wears you out, man. That wears you out. You see Andre Ward. He's not going to get hit. He's going to go out there and finesse you and slap you and beat you and exchange punches and then get on the bicycle. But Pacquiao comes at you, and he's going to finish it. Even when Marquez knocked him out, he was about to knock out Marquez in an exchange of punches. But Marquez threw that right hand that he had been practicing in the gym with 10-pound weights and knocked him cold. I mean, you know, that takes a lot out of you, man. And when a dude gets knocked out, when a dude gets knocked out like Pacquiao did, I mean, you're totally disconnected. You're unconscious before you even hit that canvas. When he hit that canvas, he was like dead meat. You know, so the fact is that, yes, Pacquiao is, to me, he's finished. But who knows if he goes and honors the return match. I don't know when, because he was cut up badly. You know, and may win. Who knows? But then I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to go on record. I don't think he's going to lose to this kid again. I don't think he's going to beat this kid. This kid is going to beat him the second time because Pacquiao shot.
Let's see. We're not going to do anything long. I'm calling. I'm doing the barbecue show and before the fireworks, and we got some fireworks coming up in next month. I mean in September. Your quick synopsis of Triple G and Canelo.
Well, I want to tell you, I mean, we never got to really in-depth discuss it last week, man, but I don't rule out Canelo. I mean, people, Cisco and everybody else, oh, well, Canelo this and this. No, but Canelo has been practicing, Doc. This is what I say with sports in-depth. You got to get inside the psyche. You got to walk in these people's shoes. You got to psychoanalyze them. You got to role-play. And you see that in the last four or five fights, Canelo has been practicing to get the solidity in his mind or emotion that he's ready to beat Triple G. And the last proof, which people miss, was when he fought Chavez. That was
You know, I tell you something else, too. Doc Stanley Sports and the Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardrail Network. It's DB. It's doing the barbecue and before the fireworks show, me and Dusty. You know, I look, too, at... You know, the reason why I went with Ray Leonard against Tommy Hearns was the quality of fighters that Ray had fought up until that time. But I was erroneous.
Exactly.
But Ray had fought a better core. He fought Duran and Benitez
exactly.
Alone. Okay.
And that was
his
learning process, man.
No, it's funny you said. I said when he beat Benitez, that was his validation of the high school valedictorian.
Exactly.
When he beat Duran, that was his master's degree.
Exactly.
When he beat Duran, that was his college degree. Tommy Hearns was his master's degree. Hagler was the PhD. And I think, you know, that Canelo has learned a lot from,
yes.
you know, fighting a Floyd Mayweather. I think he
yes.
fought a better court. Because deep down inside, as you say, Dusty, get into the crust of this, and what Howard Weston said, you know, who has Triple G really fought? The first big
Absolutely.
Fight he really had of fighting somebody yeah. along that line was Danny Jacobs. A lot of people thought Jacobs won the fight. But guys like you, Iron Barkley, Mark Breen said Jacobs didn't do enough, didn't stay aggressive, didn't make his move at the right time. But the point was, it was a fight. That Triple G was in a fight. He went the distance after not going for so long. And somebody said, too, you know, he's going to be damn near fighting in Mexico out there in Vegas. Man, that crowd is going to be all Canelo. And
all
something
Canelo.
Else that was said yesterday by GW Mike, Triple G has never been on the big stage. And Ray Leonard talked about
Absolutely.
That. You talked about that. Ali and Hearns, you know, fighting that super big fight. It's just, you know, he's never been on that big stage. Canelo's been there. Chavez,
he's been there with
Mayweather.
There,
you know, there's a lot to be said, you know, of traveling
traveled in those waters, and it was felt by some that Triple G is on this stage, that he's never been in this situation, never been in the atmosphere before, and how is he going to react to it, Dusty?
Exactly. And this is exactly how he's going to react to it. He knows that he's fighting, to me, his most improved one, super confident two, opponent.
Wow.
Other than Mayweather. You know, they took Mayweather lightly, and they didn't realize the ring general that Mayweather was. And he put the dude to school, sent him to school. I gave Mayweather 11 rounds, and I called one round even. I didn't even give Canelo one. That's how much he slacked.
Yeah, actually, according to people, you know, in a case, with you scoring like that, a lot of people thought maybe that's it. You might have been bending over backwards because everybody
could have been. But what I'm trying to say is that Triple G has not met an opponent that has changed, improved, and is a.
Dusty, you know, looking at that now.
Huh?
Looking at that now, Dr. Stanley Spurgeon, looking at. We talk so much about Abel Sanchez. We're not giving Oscar the credit that he's done to be able to transcend the game again outside the ring, or the people who are training, the trainers who are training. Alvin, you made a tremendous point. This boy has improved. This boy has learned. Everybody's talking about Abel Sanchez, but nobody's talking about the corner man that's done a great job.
Eddie and Chapo Reynoso, they took this guy to school. And you see, this is like a learning process, Doc. If that phony nonsense of if it ain't broke, don't fix nonsense. Triple G is not broken, but he still improves. But guess what? Canelo only lost one, but learned from that school. And then if you were to watch, this is what I keep telling folks, watch the last four or five fights of Canelo, how he's changed. When he came out for Cotto, he was like a bull in a corrida, flat-footed, but throwing every bomb that he can hit. I mean, that he had changed his mold, his aggressive mold. Okay? What saved Cotto, and I say it repeatedly, was that he had a Freddie Roach who changed his style and made him a boxer. But if he had been
he was more defensive. Now, too often.
Exactly, right.
Cotto was like right. That old Animal Fletcher school.
Exactly.
The Pacquiao school, where you know he'll take two or three to get one. Like you said, you can't do that in terms of in boxing and against top flight fighters.
Exactly, and if Cotto had fought like the Cotto of old, he would have been knocked out.
The Cotto that lost to Austin Trout, and you know what? And this is one time we got to say that we got to give Freddie Roach some credit because he made him make that adjustment, and I think that was a career turning point because had Cotto went out three or four rounds, and that's why he'd been done. He'd been no longer markable.
He would have been done.
He survived, and he stayed markable and viable, as we can see. He wind up getting that big contract with
right.
Rock Nation.
Rock Nation. But this is what I'm saying, that people they watch fight as fans. I watch a fight, with all due respect to everybody, as an analyst. I role play. One round, I'm Canelo.
Let me say this. You know, and I tell people this. You know, that's the problem with sports today. There are too many people who are in positions of merit that are fanatics. I've said this about you guys, Dusty. I've said it to your face, on your back. You guys are eagles dealing with caged canaries. And as I found out now, they're caged fake canaries. They're not even real canaries. Okay? I was talking to a guy the other day. And then this validates the validity of what we said. This guy is an ESPN, has an ESPN radio show. This guy is a color commentator on Latin boxing. And he told me that I thought Camacho would have his way with Mayweather. He told me, you know, Camacho. I said, what was that? The Camacho that you saw fight Chavez, the Camacho that you saw fight Delahoy, the Camacho that you saw fight Trinidad, he was done. Drug-infused, past his prime, but yet he's still with the distance.
He's still with the distance with those animals. Camacho was never knocked out, Doc. Dusty,
here's the killer. Then he told me, Dusty, that Floyd Mayweather Jr. would embarrass Roberto Duran.
Are you serious? what comic book this dude was writing. I mean, reading. You know.
Well, see, I no, it hit me. I said, you know what? I said he must have thought I was talking about Roberto Duran Jr. So I let it go.
Does he have a son? No, he doesn't have a son, does he? I don't know.
He doesn't. I mean, you know, he and I've said this about, and, you know, and no, you know, it's you, Muscles, Lady A. I mean, they just, you know, there's nobody that, you guys, GW Mike, you, Lady A, Muscles, you know, what you guys bring, every week here there's a learning process. When you listen, there's so much that, so much pride I have in you, and so much I learned, man. Through others, I am somebody. You never start a big venue of grandeur, magnitude alone. You know, you people, and, you know, and every week you just come here, you know, you keep adding and adding. You know, this week, you know, you just came in again with, I mean, and nobody loses the fact that there was a two, I mean, and you got to, you know, bells have to go off. Wait a minute. They signed a two-contract deal? And then you said, hey, wait a minute. This happened before.
Exactly. It happened before. I mean, so it's a moneymaker, because Manny Pacquiao was saying, let me pick up these last 5, 10, 20 million packages. He's not going to get the same money in New York. No way.
Dusty, you know what? That's remarkable, Dusty. I'm sitting there, you know, these guys, man, 10, 20, 30 million. And you think about the kind of money that Duran and Leonard and Hearns and Hagler,
God,
Ali would make the joke. I asked Mark Tappet, the pay-per-view guy, HBO. We had a press conference. I said, "Hey, Mark, how much you know would Ali be worth today?"
Mm-hmm.
And he says to me, "Well, you know, I got to think about it." So, about maybe a month or two later, another press conference. I said, "Mark, you know, what about?" He says, "Hey, I'm still thinking."
I'm still thinking.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
I mean, it blows the mind the kind of money these guys are making.
I'm making,
you know, and you look at the kind of money that had our guys been. A guy, look at you, Dusty. I mean,
yeah.
A guy that, you know, the contender. I mean, look where you'd have been.
I was
you,
enough, man.
Errol Weston.
Yeah, you take a Ray Robinson. Sugar Ray Robinson, $150,000, at best $300,000, and that was a lot. Can you imagine what a Ray Robinson would have won today?
Dusty, come on, Dusty. I mean, listen. Ray made $3 million career-wise. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what, no, Ali and Joe made $2.5 million the first fight.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, those guys today, Larry, Dusty, that would be expenses money, man. That's all expenses money. You know, getting ready for it. You know what? We're blessed by God that we were there to see them. And that's why it's staggering when you try to talk to some people today, because the biggest thing about today's kids, and even some people, they're really under the contention that they know everything. You know, they don't want to listen.
Yeah.
They refuse to learn, and some can't learn. It's just remarkable.
Exactly.
And Oscar Robertson said this back in the 1997 All-Star game, and I think computers have so much to do with it. They've been talking about a beast, but the fact that, you know, okay, Willie Mays. You Google up Willie Mays. San Francisco Giants outfielder. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You don't stop and read 12 straight gold gloves. You don't stop and read 4 years in a row, led the league in stolen bases. You don't read two-time MVP. You know, Google Joe DiMaggio. Pitching game history. You know, Marcia. You know, they don't digest. Somebody said it, you know, when the TV didn't come, it's instant and fast food. Get what I need and leave the rest. You know, it's like when they were killing the buffalo for sport. Just kill the buffalo and leave the rest.
Exactly.
And we hope so here at Sports in Depth. It's our goal that when you leave here, you know, you've learned not so much about what the sport we're talking about, but my crew here. I mean, we get international. You know, so often Sports in Depth turns out to be World in Depth. You know, it was here on Sports in Depth through Sea Wings where we told you when Bin Laden was taken down. Right here on our show when we were back on the Blake Radio Show days. And, you know, Dusty, man, I sure missed that Latin show you used to do on SRFM Radio, man.
Oh,
God,
yeah.
God, I sure missed
Man, we have a good combine.
So,
but the thing is that we can inject all of that into Sports in Depth, man. And this is a learning process. We're teaching those in the business and those common civilians who don't know the business. And they'll learn from what we're talking about.
The great line, that's why you have two ears and one mouth, so you can listen. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't. But it's just, Dusty, you know, it's remarkable. I'm going to run here in a minute. But it's remarkable, you know, the Mets traded Dale Murphy today, Dusty. today. Here's a stat, Dusty. Here's a stat. He has played 31 games against the Mets.
Exactly.
He has 34 RBIs.
Exactly. He slapped them. I mean, they didn't want to give. Let me tell you something. My man Cespedes is a losing cause. They couldn't give Murphy a few extra mil and keep him in second base.
And Dusty, you know what?
And they sign up this guy who ain't doing with 110 mil, 150 mil. He's always on the disabled list.
I can understand Cespedes not going to the Capitals, too.
Exactly.
I mean, he wouldn't be hurt as much. The pressure wouldn't be on him as much. And he got a chance to get to the playoffs in the world. I just understand his love for the Mets so much. And remember, Dusty, you know, they can't, the last thing they took care of was him. They showed
exactly.
him no effect, though. They showed him
exactly.
no concern. They came to him after everything was done and then signed him.
Exactly.
Remember?
Exactly. Exactly.
The Capitals had I didn't understand that. I mean, you had a chance to go to the Capitals, play for the best manager in baseball, one of the greatest of all time, some of the best players, a winning team. But, you know, what can you say, you know? What can you say, Dusty? Don King says only in America. Hope he's doing well. Haven't heard from Don in a while. Big birthdays this month. We have, Larry Hardesty's birthday was on the 2nd, along with Jose Canseco. Barry Bonds has a birthday this much. My sister Teresa has a birthday this much.
Exactly.
Your in-laws, Margie, who we have birthdays this month.
Yep,
Gabby
yep.
Dabby, beloved niece,
right,
my number one niece in that side of the family. She has a birthday this month.
Yeah. And,
my
and
cousin.
My dear dad and my sister, the 11th, next week. So they have a birthday, too. So it's a whole July month full of our good folks.
Hey, man, you know, out there barbecue and continue, we also got my niece. She has one, my two nephews.
Wow.
Like I said, my sister. In fact, you know, it's funny. The 5th is Margie's, the 6th is Teresa, and the 7th is Uli. So 5, 6, 7.
Exactly.
Yeah, you want to play,
one,
then you got the 11th.
The
and then after, no, you got the 11th. Now, I got a cousin on the 10th. You got family on the 11th. Some other people on the 15th, the 19th, 20th. July, man, July. Let's see, real quickly, the last thought, and, you know, we're moving into the All-Star game. You got to take your hat up to Judge, man. This kid has done well, hitting the long ball, playing with
most
votes. Well,
the only thing that I'm afraid of, I'm sorry. I only hope that in the home run derby, him and Sanchez don't hurt themselves. It's been like a bad omen. Every time you get into the home run derby, whether you win or not, you come close, the rest of the season, you shot your bolt. Okay.
You know, and I tell you what the big problem, Dusty, is these guys are messing with these weights too much. Doc Gooden talked about that. He said, he said, when I played, I only used exercises that were advantageous for the position I played.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you guys are lifting the weights and they're doing this and that. We'll see. But he's got to take your hat off to him. The guy got some other guys, got some all-star. I think Girardi's done a tremendous job. Chapman seems to be, I don't know, Dusty. You know, Chapman has lost a couple of games and he doesn't seem to be his own self anymore.
No, he's, I don't know. Somehow he's gotten lackadaisical. Here's another guy with, 4 years, $80 million or something to be a cleanup man, and he's lost one or two games. I mean, they could have won, but he blew the save. So
it's remarkable to me, Dusty. You know, and you listen to the game, and it's the bottom of the 5th there. Yankees up 2-1, and you know you don't want them to go to the bullpen because Dusty pitched a 30th inning last night, and Doc pitched a 30th inning the day before, and GW Mike pitched a 30th. I'm like, whoa, you're making $80 million, and you can't pitch 2 days in a row, one day. Dusty, remember Goose Gossage? Remember Sparky Lyle?
Exactly.
Mike Marshall?
Exactly.
Marshall Bridges? These guys can pitch every day for 3 innings, Dusty, every day.
The guy Martinez, I think with Baltimore, Detroit Martinez, he not only won the Cy Young, he was MVP because he would come here, he would come in there and kill you. There was Rivera.
I remember you talking about the guy from Detroit.
Yeah, the big mustache. The guy would kill you, man.
I think it was Hernandez, left-handed guy.
I think that's what, but he would kill you. And then now,
but that's, I mean, but that's the whole thing, man. Back in the day, I don't even know, there was no pitch count.
Pitch count.
yeah, you got a pitch count. Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, see, now you know, going back, I remember, hey, you and the babies that hang out together. I know y'all kind of know what's going on, but,
exactly.
You know, you and the babe and Satchel Paige, you and you guys, wow.
Exactly.
It's changed. Let's see, some closing thoughts here. 4th of July, Independence Day. We're going to close it up. Some closing thoughts before we leave, Dust.
Give you what you want, or say, close it up?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, what do you thought? 4th of July, what do you want to say to the public today?
4th of July will really be you know where you and I came from for uniform force, man. 4th of July to me is yes, we celebrate independence, man, but we don't need the fireworks because I spent too many nights or days or 24/7 in the emergency room carrying people burned and kids injured and all that. So you could do a 4th of July just home with your barbecues and then be careful with the barbecues. And out here where I live now, people out there in the beach and enjoying themselves, man, you don't need fireworks, man. But, just a family unity. Like I said, everybody's up in Long Island and in the Ruthie's house, and having a nice little barbecue and all that. So that's basically what I, and then hope for the future, hope that the country turns itself around and those in power, if you know what I mean, will begin to think about the folks, man, because we are being destroyed with this change of Obamacare to Trumpcare and all these changes, and then we can't even travel back and forth because now they put a block on traveling. So what the heck is going on here, man? This is a total upheaval of what we used to, So I just hope for the best. We talk about independence. Yes, we fought every war, cost us a lot, and we realized some independence and all that. But still, in all, with what's happening now, it's like destroying every effort that we made, But,
like you said, some things change and remain the same. Freedom ain't free.
Freedom ain't free.
Like Don King says, only in America. Dusty, thanks a lot, baby. We'll talk to you later on during the week. Dusty, Doc Stanley and Dusty here on our 4th of July special. Doing the barbecue and before the fireworks show. Dusty, say goodbye and smash everybody, will you? Say something to the Latin crowd.
Cuidado con el 4 de julio. Que disfruten de un día de fiesta honorable y segura. And God bless.
Thanks, Dusty.
Goodbye.
Love you, baby.
Okay, take care. God bless, baby.
Bye-bye. Run. Greg Bonet can take us away. The show. Just wanted to get an insight, in-depth perspective. Dusty gave it to us. Okay, doing the barbecue? Oh, hey, I'm head out for the fireworks, too. Leave you with three thoughts. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others? And you pay for your space on Earth. I am my brother's keeper. Brothers come in all color. Marvin Gaye takes us away. Marvin?
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world. Flowers won't grow, no.
Bells won't be ringing,
no bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Are they gonna suffer tomorrow?
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
we can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life. But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.